I would like to invite you to turn to today's New Testament reading, which is Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. You're welcome to follow along in your own Bible or device, or you can take a pew Bible from in front of you, or you can simply listen as I read these words from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." I'm going to sort of tell this story again, but I want you to strip away Jesus, Mary, Martha. I just want to imagine, for instance, that you and your sibling are hosting a Super Bowl party, relevant, and you're inviting over a special guest, someone who you both value, someone you want to be there to spend time with you while you get excited about the commercials. I get more excited about the commercials than the football, to be honest. And so you invite them over, and all of a sudden you notice that your sibling is not doing any of the work. The guest arrives, and you're continuing to having to check the nacho cheese in the crock pot or the hot dogs or whatever it is. You might need to be the one to pay for the pizza or check the pizza. You might need to keep checking the wings, or you might be slicing up the vegetables, the fruit, or whatever it is. You're trying to keep the house going while this party or while this dinner is going on. And if you were me, you'd be a little frustrated. If you were the one doing all the work, if you were the one who was trying to be hospitable, to be a servant with your hands and by cooking and feeding. And I think if I were the guest, I might also feel sorry for the person who was in the kitchen running about doing all of this work. I begin this story, or I repeat this story to you, to say you would not necessarily be wrong to feel sorry for the person who was doing all the work. And to be completely honest with you, by cultural standards, both in the time of Mary and Martha and today, the person who is doing all the work would be the hospitable one, the one offering service and using their hands to create as good a party as they could. And so early on, it's important to get out of the way. Martha is not the bad guy, okay? Martha is not a bad guy in this story, or a bad girl in this story. We sometimes look at Martha and can only think about everything that she's doing wrong, but she's doing what would have been expected of her as a good host in showing hospitality. She wasn't doing something bad. In many ways, she was doing the right thing. She was using her hands and running around relentlessly to serve her guest. She's serving in a tangible way. And yet, here's the crux of the issue. I think Jesus is saying to her, what you're doing is good, what you're doing is important, but there's something more important that you could be giving your attention to. You're doing so much work, and you're taking this concept of being a good host so seriously that you're missing out on who you're with here. You're missing out on the fact that you could sit with me and be present with me. Jesus says there's something more important, and that we do have a tendency to equate busy service with serving Christ. But let's move on beyond the individual for a moment. Let's instead imagine the situation of a church who believes that Christ is present with us as we seek to serve one another and to serve this community. Well, let's just imagine for a second that the church is actively seeking to do all that which would please Christ and all that which would reach the people around them. And so this church becomes busy. This church plans Sunday school and a morning worship service and sometimes a Sunday evening worship service. This church also has a committee or a council or a team meeting on Monday or Tuesday night of almost every week. This church has Wednesday activities that consist of children's activities, church supper, adult Bible study, and choir rehearsal. And this church also has Saturdays throughout the year with special events such as mission projects, fellowship events, picnics, denominational activities. Sorry. Did that sound like us for a second? I could say this to every church, by the way. This isn't a First Baptist Church issue or thought. I said it to my last church, and they said, ooh, wait, yeah, that is us, isn't it? We're busy. We're busy. This is not a call to cancel all that, by the way. It's just something to make you think. Can you picture the church coming to Jesus and saying, Lord, do you not care about all this work we're doing? And do you imagine Jesus saying, church, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Today's scripture is a reminder that busyness does not equate to service. Today's scripture is a reminder that busyness does not always equal presence with Christ. Sometimes the best way to serve Christ is to simply be, to sit at the feet of Jesus, knowing that there could be many things to engage in any one time, meetings or Bible studies, more mission trips, more fellowship activities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And once again, like Jesus and Martha, those things aren't bad. There is a time and place for those things. There is a time and place for those events and those activities and those initiatives. But today's glimpse of servanthood shows us that being busy or planning activities or simply trying to use our hands until they're dry and cracked and can no longer work is not the point of servanthood or being of service to one another or our community. In fact, today's glimpse of servanthood is short. It's a short passage, only a few verses long, but it's subversive. It is a subversive example of Jesus calling us to do the opposite of what seems normal or acceptable. Jesus calling out Martha for her insistence on working and serving and using her hands endlessly, once again, would have been a good thing and the right thing to do in that culture. But Jesus says, hold on a second. Let's turn this upside down and remind ourselves of what we're doing here. Or he's ultimately asking Martha, Martha, what's the point of what you're doing? If I am in your house, what's the point of you running back and forth endlessly? If I'm here and you don't get to spend time with me, what's the point of this gathering? What's the point of me being here? This story takes this idea of busyness and hospitality and turns it on its head. It asks us to remember why we do what we do and why we're here. That we who are serving can get lost in the amount of work we do. Sometimes that means us as individuals. Yes, as individuals, we can become too busy. Just last fall, we had a Wednesday night Bible study about the epidemic of busyness amongst everyone, but especially Christians, who never stop to rest and to take Sabbath and to pray and to sit at the feet of Jesus. But we can also take this church-wide. We can also take this story and be reminded of who we are as a congregation. We can be reminded that putting items on the calendar nonstop and simply finding the next thing to do does not equate to presence with Jesus or to forming authentic community with Him in our presence. And that while there is a time for those things, there should also be a regular time and place for the servants of Christ to simply sit at His feet and listen. Mary's approach to sitting at the feet of Jesus as he arrived at their home reminds us of a couple of important truths of servanthood. Once again, we're reminded that busyness does not equal service. Busyness for the sake of being busy does not equal service. This passage is not telling us that activity and using our hands don't have a place. Much of what we do in serving Christ means getting our hands dirty and healing and building and feeding. It's active. It is work. That is okay, and we should keep doing that. But are we taking the right amount of time to stop and to breathe and to listen to what Jesus is saying to us and how the Spirit is guiding our community of faith? Some of you may be saying, yes, Jeremy, we do it right now. This is our time to stop. 1 hour a week? Is that how often we stop? Leaves room for a lot of busyness, doesn't it? We sometimes forget why we're here, and soon enough our work goes off course or becomes pointless, or we engage in activities or meetings simply because we've always done them, or we think we just have to keep doing them because that's the way we've always known. Secondly, Mary's approach to servanthood shows us that we must give our full, undivided attention to the one who is being served as well. Sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in the work and the process and the culture and the standards for work, both in the church and in the world around us, this epidemic of busyness, that we forget what we're in this for in the first place. FBC, we are here to serve Christ and to serve the people of this community. We're not here to simply serve our own preferences and ourselves. We're here for others. And when we regularly place our focus on the subject of our service, that being Jesus Christ, our work becomes more meaningful because our work and the intentionality we put behind it is grounded in worship and service. Today we're going to rest by taking of the Lord's Supper together. The most grounded ritual we take part in the church, all Christian churches across the world, is the taking of the Lord's Supper or communion. And if you've noticed, taking of the Lord's Supper is not a busy, complex, frantic act. It's something, quite frankly, that we do while resting. Taking of the Lord's Supper is not a big production. I value Jeanette and Sharon and Linda and others who come in to prepare our Lord's Supper meal, but I don't want to speak for them, but I don't think it necessarily exhausts them to the point of exhaustion to put our Lord's Supper meal together. It's a good service, and we're thankful for it. But it's not complicated. It's not exhausting. And then when we take of this Lord's Supper together, we rest in Jesus around this table. We sit with Jesus in many ways in the same way that Mary was sitting with Jesus. And so we're going to take a few moments to serve one another without being busy. This is a way that we serve and put ourselves second and exhibit servanthood in the church without being frantic and busy. We're going to take of this Lord's Supper together, the truest reminder of our intimacy with Christ. We're going to come, we're going to eat, and we're going to drink, we're going to experience Jesus, and we're going to do so without being busy, without rushing around, without putting something on the calendar. We're just going to be present with Jesus. Before we do so, we're going to sing a hymn together. It's hymn 400, if you'd like to use your hymnal, or the words will be on the screen. This is Jesus at Your Holy Table. Let's sing this hymn together before we take of Lord's Supper.